1 Timothy 4. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Amen. 1 Timothy 4, 4 through 6. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, continually nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. In our prior considerations, we have seen the powerful truth of the value of God's word. He has so blessed us with the written testimony of His interaction and relationship with mankind. It all leads to the giving of His Son for our salvation and the glory that is now ours by virtue of our being one in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul has very much to say about God's Word, because it is such a vital means of knowing what God has done for us and what our love for Him will bring forth in our lives. The ministry of His Word will work to ground us in the foundational truth of Jesus Christ. Today, let us focus on the sustaining and spiritually nourishing power of His Word as it is livingly infused into our lives by the effective and miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. Throughout Scripture, it is referred to in terms as spiritual food. It is the means by which our spiritual and even our physical lives are given the nutrition and energy to grow. I mention the physical because our physical bodies are utterly dependent on our spiritual welfare. If we are malnourished within our spirit, our physical well-being also suffers. Look at the children of Israel. as they were wandering in the wilderness. The Lord was continually meeting their needs in miraculous manners, as evidenced in even the manna from heaven, which was their daily nourishment. Not only did it feed their bodies, but in its very provision, they were in utter reliance upon God as the sole source of their sustenance. As we read in Deuteronomy 8:3, "And he humbled you, and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." While they were looking to God to meet the needs of their physical bodies, their spirits were continually reminded in humbleness of the power and the majesty and the supremacy of God. They were a blessed and chosen people in whom God saw the means for His love to be spread across the spectrum of humanity. He chose them, and He pulled them out of slavery. He made every provision for their daily lives. Even in their disobedience, as they wandered in the wilderness, God's love was poured out to them in the daily provision of the water and of the manna and even of the quails when they cried out for meat. All that physical provision was for the purpose of showing them the absolute importance of obeying and of cherishing God's word. His word was the force behind their deliverance. His word was the supply of their every need. His word was the means by which they were humbled. And His word was the standard of holiness by which they were measured. Job recognized the value of eating the very word of God, as related in Job 23:12. "I have not departed from the command of His lips. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." He saw that even though food was necessary, the words of God were more vital. His words were to be treasured and to be stored up within the soul as the most valuable possession of the heart. Job knew that God's word never failed. It was never in error, and it never disappointed. He knew that it might not be what we want to hear, but it is always what we need to hear. In that truth, it is to be reverenced and to be obeyed with the absolute faith that as we do so, God is well pleased in our obedience. It shows that we value His word even above life itself, because the value of His word is the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, He is life. He is the living Word made flesh, and it is in Him that all the treasuries of God's riches are abundantly showered upon us. The psalmist recognized the truth of the depth and the necessity and the wonderfulness of this, as we read in Psalms 119, verse 103. "How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." God's word is infused with all the bounty of God's love in Jesus Christ. It is poured out upon us as honey from the honeycomb. There is sweet satisfaction in savoring the flavor of His Word. We find that we are refreshed and that we are encouraged and that we are strengthened and that we are given the energy to face every challenge as we feast on His Word. Every problem, every issue finds its resolution in the overwhelming sweetness of the truth of Scripture. Just as honey can overcome the sensory abilities of our tongues with its concentrated intensity of sweetness, so does God's Word overcome our doubts and our fears and our anxieties with its pungent power of truth and faithfulness. The prophet Jeremiah was tremendously nourished in this truth. Jeremiah 15:16. "Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Jeremiah certainly did not have what we would consider an easy life. He was not loved in his own hometown, where his neighbors plotted to get rid of him. He was not welcomed by the rulers of Jerusalem and Judah because he continually prophesied against their sin before God. In their vile retribution, they cast him into a deep well to die. But God miraculously rescued him from that fate by a foreigner. Jeremiah watched first as the Egyptians and then the Babylonians utterly destroyed his beloved Judah and Jerusalem, just as he had prophesied. Then he was forcibly carried into Egypt by his own people, in spite of his cries not to go that path, but rather to wait on the Lord. And it was there in Egypt that many scholars believe that Jeremiah was stoned to death by his fellow Jews. In spite of all those hardships, in spite of all that physical and mental abuse, we hear him declare the fact that the Word of God was the joy and delight of his heart. When most would have been bitter and utterly disillusioned, Jeremiah found his solace and comfort and joy and delight in reading and meditating upon and spiritually feasting on the sustenance of God's Word. He was sustained by the purity and the overwhelming sweetness of God's provision of spiritual nourishment, overwhelming all the bitterness of the events within his life. Another prophet with a tremendous respect and regard for the Word of God was Ezekiel. He was instructed to eat the scroll of God's Word in order to prophesy to the nations of God's intentions and actions with regard to his chosen people. Ezekiel 2:8. "Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you." As well in Ezekiel 3:1 and 2. "Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll." It is in absolute authority that God's Word, ingested within his instruction and his clarity of purpose, is preached to those in need. The word not only endues the one who eats it with all the strength and the power and the fortitude to deliver it, but it serves to nourish those who listen, as it is declared by the omnipotence and the omnipresent power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 7:28-29. The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. His word will proceed forth in the power and the authority of God, because it is his very word that is proclaimed. As well, our eating of his word is not just for our sustenance, but for the sustenance of those unto whom it is delivered. It succeeds in all that God purposes, because it is his word. His word does everything that he desires as we feast upon it and as we share it with others. Christ gives forth this truth in Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Our very life is that of living by his word, as it infuses us with the truth and the faithfulness of God's divine nature in Jesus Christ. It infuses us with the truth of the living Lord God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King, our everything. The Apostle Peter brings forth the need for all of us to grow in the strength of the Lord. We start as newborn babes with the milk of God's Word, and it causes us to grow strong in the Lord and in the development of our spiritual faculties, to know more and more of God and his so great love. 1 Peter 2:1-3. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Another wonderful aspect of the power of God's word is that it meets our needs today. It doesn't promise things that will only take place at some future time. No, his word proclaims the work of God in our lives this very day. It meets our every needs today, right now, this very moment. And it meets our needs every day of our lives. At whatever stage of our spiritual development, it meets the needs and it fulfills all that the Lord intends for it to do within those who will but eat of it. Its power and life-giving nourishment is for our growth spiritually, day by day, as each hour unfolds. And it's all to the glory of God in the lives that we live. As we feast on his word, he's the one who receives the glory for his word. Sadly, however, as noted by the writer to the Hebrews, some become merely satisfied with the elementary aspects of God's word. They do not seek for the Lord to move them on into all his fullness into the spiritual truth and the living relationship that is ours in Jesus Christ. They do not desire to follow the necessary path of spiritual development with its required processes of spiritual exercise and upbuilding training that is found in every situation and every circumstance. They seem to be forever sucking at the milk of the Word and not feasting on the meat of His Scripture for spiritual growth. Hebrews 5:12-14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We need to encourage ourselves and each other to strive for the solid nutrition of the substance of God's Word. We need to strive after our spiritual development into those men and women of God who can digest and absorb the deeper nutrients of His spiritual feeding. Then we will be enabled to share with others the miraculous truth of all the goodness and all the grace and all the mercy and all the kindness of God's love. We will then be enabled to discern and to understand more and more clearly the sound teaching of His Word. As we do grow in the Lord to the potential that His Word will develop within us, we will soon find ourselves considering God's Word as recorded in Deuteronomy 32:1-3. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass and as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. Our hearts will be in absolute union with that of Moses as he proclaimed the indescribable greatness of God. We will be in utter awe of all that He has accomplished in Jesus Christ and will freely offer up full acclamation of His goodness and His greatness to His glory alone. We will be enabled to more and more understand the teachings of our Lord, and we will know that what He said comes to us from our Heavenly Father. Our hearts will spring up in joy as we read all the words recorded for our instruction. They will more and more solidly establish our faith that Jesus is the very Son of God. We will unwaveringly know Him as the living Word, in whom our everything rests in the complete and the perfect security and faithfulness of our God. John 7:16-18. Jesus therefore answered them and said, My teaching is not mine, but His who sent me. If any man is willing to do His will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Finally, it is the eating of the Word of God that will maintain our hearts in the perfect will of God. Our lives will reflect that full sense of how much we rely upon His Word to sustain us. As we deal with others, we will evidence the full heart of God and the purity of His love for all people. We will be those overseers of the Word by which it is freely shared without contradiction with all the desperate, the hungry, the starved masses of this realm. The Apostle Paul recognizes the importance of maintaining ourselves within the Word and gives instruction in his letter to Titus as to the manner in which we must be seen in the nourishment and the power of God's Word. Titus 1:7-9. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. As we continue to consume the Word of God together in our worship, in our prayer groups, in our teaching of the children and of one another, let it be done with the reverence and the craving for the full nourishment of God to cultivate His heart in our lives. His Word is not just another book. His Word is the book of life. It is life everlasting. It will face the severest critics in the living power of the resurrected and glorified Lord Jesus Christ. It will stand against all their arguments and intellectual theories and attempted twisting of its precepts and revelations. All that foolishness is completely voided by the Holy Spirit as He makes His Word the very source of our lives on this earth. Feast fully on His Word and know Him whom we believe. Complete, absolute, and unshakable belief in Jesus Christ is eternally established in the spiritual nourishment that is ours by the grace and the mercy and the love of God given in His Word. Our life is the life of His Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our everything. Amen. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Amen.